Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I am Eileen Thompson, the founder of Treasured Ministries. I am the author of the Nourish Bible Study series and the creator of the Nourish Bible Study Method. And I'm super excited to introduce you to our guest speaker today for our podcast. And real quick, if you've been following us, you know that we've been doing our Nourish Devotion series on the book of Ephesians, and we've been talking about something called godly girl power. Now, godly girl power is not worldly power. We know that worldly power is that power that we try to take by controlling other people and our circumstances, but godly girl power is a woman led confidently by the Holy Spirit as she walks in love, no matter what circumstances she faces. And I'll tell you why I'm really excited about today. And that is because this world is a battlefield that you and I live in. And the enemy would love nothing more to wreak havoc in our life. But God in his awesome sovereignty gave us armor to fight with. And today, we're going to be talking about a very practical, awesome way to put on the most important, what I feel is the most important piece of armor. So this podcast is going to equip you as a woman of God that is walking out her God-given purpose to walk, because let's face it, when storms come up in life, it can rattle our faith. And that's, God wants us to be walking his strength through those storms. And in order to do that, we have to be aware of our enemy and wear the armor. So today I have with me Brooke McGee. Brooke McGee is somebody that definitely walks in godly girl power, and she is a missionary in the Dominican Republic. Welcome, Brooke. We're glad that you're here.
Well, thank you so much. It's just a privilege and my pleasure to speak with you today and just share a little bit about what the Lord has done in my life and been teaching me, and hopefully just to motivate us all, myself included, just to train harder for our race and just to run hard and fuel up with the Word.
Awesome.
So thank you so much for having me.
Awesome, awesome. And before we get started, tell us a little bit. I know that you're in Dominican Republic with your husband, Matt. Tell us a little bit about the ministry that you're doing there and what your passion is and how you're making a difference.
Sure. We have been in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, for a little over a year now. And my husband is the international director for Ministerio Integridad y Sabiduría, which in English is Wisdom and Integrity Ministries. And the Lord connected us with this ministry, and it just fit right along with our passion and what he's called us to do, which is just to promote good, sound doctrine, biblical teaching throughout Latin America. And our passion is that be written for Hispanics by Hispanics. And so it's just been such an honor to be a part of what the Lord is doing in Latin America and to get to see with our eyes stirrings of just revival and just a reformation back to the Word of God and away from the false teaching that we've seen run rampant through through Latin America. And so this is just so exciting to be a part of bringing the true Word of God, no more, no less, just the absolute truth to the people. And so it's exciting to be a part of that.
That is awesome, because we know Jesus said the truth set us free. And so that's so, so important to do. And in fact, when we were just starting out this Nourish Devotions, we looked back in the book of Acts before Paul left the church of Ephesus. He was with them for 2 to 3 years, and then he left them, then 10 years later wrote this letter back to them. But one of the things he warned them about was that people would rise up among them and would distort the truth. So thankfully, exactly. So thankful for people like you that are doing this. And I love how you're doing it. You're empowering and building up people there. That is really, really awesome. I love that.
Well, we're excited and blessed to be a part of it. So it's an honor and a privilege.
Awesome. Awesome. And we'll definitely put those links inside of the description in the podcast. So if people want to check out your ministry, they can go there. Okay. So today we are going to get our armor on and we are going to train hard, because it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're a missionary in the Dominican Republic or you are in the United States, God has called us to be warrior girls for Him, to walk and to live and to share His love. But we face battles in life. And in your Nourish Scripture this week, it talked about the armor of God. And it talked about who our true enemy is, that our enemy is not the bad circumstances. It's not that person that is driving you bananas, that there's an enemy behind it all. And he wants to derail us. He wants to get us flustered. He wants us to quit on God. He wants to convince us through our circumstances that God really doesn't love us, right? Or that God isn't who he says he is. And that is his, the Bible says that he roars around like a lion. And we need to be very aware that this is what is going on. And because we don't need to fight people or fight our circumstances, we need to armor up. So in your Nourish Scripture this week, if you've been studying along and using the Nourish Bible study method to dive into the truth, Paul talks about the armor of God. Now, we don't have time today to go deep into each piece of armor, but I want to just briefly touch on each. The belt of truth. That is not just knowing the truth. It is practicing the truth. And the Bible says that the enemy is the father of all lies. So knowing that truth and walking in it, that is the way that we fight the enemy. The breastplate of righteousness, that's positional righteousness. That's who we are in Christ, right? But it's also practical everyday righteousness, walking in the ways of the Lord, following the Holy Spirit and staying close to Him. Then the shoes of the gospel. Now, I love this. I absolutely love this. And by the way, there are certainly different commentaries say different things about each piece of armor. William Wordsworth, he is my favorite, and so that's where I got this information from. Priscilla Schreier has come out with a study called The Armor of God that I've heard nothing but wonderful things about, and I think that she's a great teacher. So if you wanted to go deeper into that, that would be a great study to do. Brooke, have you ever heard Priscilla speak, or have you read any of her information or her teaching?
I have not, but I will definitely check it out now.
Okay, yeah. So that's where I'm getting all this from. So the shoes of the gospel, it's the peace that we have with God, and it's also the peace that we have each other's. But this is what I love about shoes. Like, shoes take us places, and it's an action of doing. And it's really like saying, my identity. I'm an ambassador of Christ, and this is what I'm doing today, whether it's in the business place or wherever I'm going, that my identity, that I'm here to share the gospel. I mean, that is just, that's awesome. So just with shoes ready to do that. And then the shield of faith, it is that living an active faith in the promises of God, in the peace of God, that you can, when the enemy throws those fiery darts, that you can remember what his word says. And I always like to say that when you're walking through a difficult circumstances, I think that one of his biggest darts that he'll throw is, God must not love you. And all you have, you know, in that moment, you know, you remember the cross, you remember what he did for you, you remember the promises of God that he'll never leave you or forsake you, and throw up that shield of faith. And then there's the helmet of salvation. And what William said about this was that that is a mind controlled by the Lord. I love that. That's taking your thoughts captive to who you are in Christ. It's about your mind, your thinking. And then it talked about certainly the power of prayer, but right before that, it talked about the sword of the Spirit. Then it says, which is the Word of God. Now, that is what we're going to talk about today, the sword of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about how to put this armor on, a very practical way that we put this armor on. And the reason why I want to talk about this word is that the word is the only offensive weapon that you have in the armor of God, that Jesus Christ, when he was here in Matthew chapter 4, to defeat the enemy, he used the word. Okay, he used scripture and quoted it right back to the enemy. And you can read more about that in Matthew chapter 4. Then the word, and I saw this time, the word is really connected to all other parts of the armor, if you think about it. Isn't that right, Brooke? I mean, it really...
Absolutely.
The truth, the righteousness. I mean, if you're going to have a mind controlled by the Holy Spirit, you've got to know what the truth is. You've got to know what the truth is. Okay. So that's why I wanted to talk about the word, and I want to put it in practical terms, because you kind of like read the armor of God and then it says to put it on. You're like, well, how do I do that? So today, Brooke is going to share her story, and then we're going to talk about, and we need to get excited about this because Brooke has inspired me. We're going to talk about, training well so that when a battle arises, that we will be mighty warriors ready to go. I mean, I'm so excited about this. So, Brooke, will you share your story with us of how, of the word and how God taught you this very specific way, of putting on the sword of the Spirit. So if you'll just start with your story, and if you will describe to us, your walk with God maybe like 10 years ago.
Sure. Well, today I'll just share just a little bit of my story that relates to just how the Lord has given me just this passion for his word. And I just pray that I can communicate that to you and just motivate us all to just train harder. So, I was saved when I was 8, and, I'll kind of skip over all of that to when I was 28. Let me describe a little bit about my life to you. I had just a very easy life. Was married, had a great job. I had been on, numerous mission trips, involved in church, loved the Lord. I really did with all my heart, and I meant it when I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. But it was very easy for me to do that because I did not know suffering. Everything was easy. And when things are going great, it's pretty easy to raise your hands in the air and say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
But when I was 28 years old, the Lord blessed me with the taste of suffering. Mm. And what happened was I was pregnant. It was my first pregnancy. I was at the end of my first trimester. And we had already had a great ultrasound. Everything was going great. We told the whole world. And, a week after we had seen the baby moving around on the ultrasound, I found out the baby's heart stopped beating, and I went into the hospital, a pregnant, excited future mommy, and was leave just completely devastated, brokenhearted, and just the lowest valley that I had ever experienced before.
How many weeks along were you when the miscarriage happened?
I was 12.
Okay.
So we had just, kind of let the word out.
Yeah.
But it was my first one, and we were, excited and had told the grandparents and everything. Mm-hmm. So and that was kind of my first taste of suffering. And what that did was I've realized since that whenever we go through trials or we're faced with temptation of any kind, everything that we've ever learned, been taught, and memorized, all of that just comes to the center stage in your life. And so you really have to just face it and deal with it. And so that was really the first time that I was faced with just really questioning, you know, well, is God really sovereign? Well,
yeah.
You know, what does his word say? And is he really for me? Well, what does his word say? And
mm-hmm.
And so all of those things that, you know, you've sung about, you've read about, and you've studied,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're experiencing your valley, it's a lot different than your mountain. And so but those things still hold true. And that's what the Lord has been teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
Through trials. But what happened was I felt like the Lord was just growing me so much, and I didn't really know what to do with all of this. And I wanted to honor him and give him glory through all of this. And so I sought out a really wise friend of mine at church and asked her if she would mentor me through this. And she graciously agreed to do that. And we met regularly, and we would read the Word and just do a lot of praying together, and we went through a book together. But one thing that she taught me changed my entire life, changed me forever, and that was that she encouraged me to memorize Scripture. And, you know, as a girl that has grown up in church and had been a Christian for a long time, you know, I had memorized verses here and there, but the thought of memorizing just a huge chunk of Scripture at a time. You
so
know,
she wanted you to memorize, not just like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but her challenge was like, hey, actually, I meant a whole chapter of the Bible or even a whole book.
Yep, she encouraged me to memorize a book, and that seemed like such a daunting challenge.
Yeah, it seemed like a daunting challenge to me. Okay, it's seeming like, I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, so she encouraged you to memorize a whole book of the Bible. Okay, that's a huge challenge.
And it is, and I remember exactly what I was thinking, and I was thinking, there is no way, and I had all these excuses in my mind, like, well, she must not know how busy I am, and also, she must not know, I just really have a hard time memorizing things. Things just don't stick, and I had all these excuses, and she looked at me and said, if I can do it, you can do it, and I thought, well, I can't say anything to that, so I guess I'll give it a go, and I was slow at first, but it got easier, and I tried kind of some different techniques and kind of figured out what worked for me. And the results, the fruit that I saw from that changed my entire life.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I will never go back. So.
Wow. So tell me about that. Like, how did it impact you? Well, first let me say, like, what were some, do you think, because I think that, like, when I hear the word memorize, honestly, what I think is school, like, you know, like high school and, you know, and no. And there's a part of me, and I know that you had too. You grew up studying the Bible, and I love to study the Bible. So do you think, like, maybe it's just a mental block that we have? Like, I'm not memorizing Scripture. Like, that's what my boys do for school. Like, why, do you know what I mean? Like, isn't that like just for children, or like, what were some of your mental blocks with that? Cause I think that's it. We just say, I'm not doing that, you know, or I can't do that, or I don't have time.
I think personally, it's one of the greatest lies of the enemy is convincing us that we can't do that so that we don't even consider it. But if you think about it, if you hear, my husband and I are always laughing about, you know, old commercials and little jingles, and we can remember stuff from 20 years ago, stuff we heard when we were children, and all of a sudden one word or one little sentence, and we bring back and we can sing the whole commercial. So you're telling me I can't memorize one verse, you know, if I can memorize a little commercial or a jingle or a song, or if you think about a song you heard 10 years ago, all of a sudden it comes on the radio and you can sing the whole thing without looking at it for 10 years. And so that is the power of the memory that God gave us. And it's a lie of the enemy that it can't be filled with Scripture. So we just have to learn how to do it and find, you know, a method and just to be disciplined and go for it.
Wow. Okay. Really, so you just totally got me with that. I'm like, she's right. You know, like if a song plays, I mean, I can finish the whole thing. I mean, I could finish. I listen to contemporary Christian music all the time, and I can sing songs from beginning to end. So you just nailed me. But that's fine. That's fine. Well, I need to hear all this. You. Yeah, yeah. And you know what else is interesting about this? There's a guy that's written this book called "Live Differently, Think Differently," Bob Hamp. And anyway, he talked about the fact that one of the ways the enemy works is if he can just start a song in our head, then we'll just finish it for him, like with whatever. And you think about how we ruminate over and over again on like a negative conversation that we had, or, you know, like we ruminate and we worry about our children and all these sorts of things. And it's really a choice that we make, isn't it? I mean, it's not an easy Absolutely. Choice, but it's like, say, okay, I'm going to do this, right?
Exactly. And also, I think our pride, you know, we may look at, you know, for instance, if I looked at my mentor thinking, well, she already knows however many books of the Bible, and I'm starting with verse one of this book, and it's going to take me forever, and I may not be as fast as she is and all that. It's not, you know, it's not a competition. So what? If one verse takes you 2 weeks or 2 days, the end result is the same. You have the verse in your heart, you know?
Yeah.
So that's another, just, you just have to lay that aside and just be diligent, disciplined, and go for it, and the Lord will be glorified, and we'll see plenty of fruit in that. So,
and you mentioned the correlation between doing this as to training for athletics, and I loved that. You know, I just thought about this. Like, I work out because I can see the results from that. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, memorizing scripture, well, I might not be as committed to that because maybe I can't see it, but it's about our mind, and it's really about changing our thoughts and what we're focusing on, is it not?
Exactly. And I was chuckling the other day. I was thinking about if we were to sign up for, let's say, a marathon or, you know, another really long race, and if we just trained for that race by just jogging to our mailbox to get the mail each day, we'd be just horribly unprepared. And, you know, and that's still the same way that I feel like a lot of times we live our life with the Word, because we'll listen to the sermon on Sundays, or we'll read our one verse randomly through the Bible a day, or, you know, just a little here and there, and that's really like jogging to the mailbox each day for a marathon. You know, there's no effort to match the difficulty of the race and the challenge of the race if we really want to give God the most glory we possibly can. You know, how seriously are we taking this race? And that reflects how seriously we're taking our training.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I love this verse in 2 Timothy verse 5. And it says this: "And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules." And in the King James Version, that word "follow" is actually "strive." And in the Amplified, it says "compete." But it's actually from the word "strive" is from the Greek word "athleticus," which is described as a man involved in a tremendous athletic competition. And it's like, you know, what you just said is so true. I mean, this is like we are warriors for the Lord. I mean, spreading His gospel. And so we need to not just train up so that we'll be ready when the battle hits. Now, I know as your story continues, and this is before you went to the Dominican Republic, but you were successful in memorizing scripture, and Brooke is going to give us some keys on how to do that in a minute. And I can't wait because I'm going to implement them in my own life. But you had an opportunity to put this into practice. Can you share that with us?
Yes. Well, I started with the Book of James, and I was really slow at first, but I kept at it. And the most amazing thing happened is that once I had that with me all the time, all of a sudden I found that the verses I had in my heart were relevant all the time, you know, from a discussion with a friend or with a coworker or with my husband or something that I would be thinking about and going through. And so it was amazing to see that fruit. And then what really was a game changer for me was about 3 months later, I was pregnant with my second pregnancy, which is my son Josiah's pregnancy. And I was kind of right at that same point in my pregnancy, and I had a subchorionic hemorrhage, and so I was rushed to the hospital, and at the time, I didn't know that he would be okay. We were pretty sure that we had lost him, and so as I was laying there waiting for the results from the ultrasound and all of the tests, I was just praying to the Lord that, you know, he would give me grace to walk through this again, and just to bless his name and give him glory. And I, you know, I just was feeling so anxious and afraid as I was lying there alone. And I thought, wait a minute, I have my sword. I know, you know, James 1 and part of James 2. So I'll just go through that in my head, and was able to just meditate on that and think on that and think on his word. And it just, you know, it just gave me such peace, and it gave my mind something else to concentrate on rather than being afraid or, you know, anxious for the future. You know, it was a game changer for me because I had a weapon against that, you know, and I had something else to focus on. And so that was key for
me. That's awesome. So. That's awesome. And I think that's the big key. I mean, when Jesus, it's about women, it's about like having that sword ready. Like, you know, you might not be able to run to your Bible. I mean, you were in the middle of a hospital, and, but you had the word with you. You might not be able to go to your Bible app on your, you know, as great as that is, but this is about gearing up for whatever is going to happen for you during the day. And I love that you mentioned too, in when you were talking about 5 minutes ago, that it was also handy as not only to fight the enemy, but to share truth with friends, or as you were, you know, ministering to others, that you had that word handy. And when you look at the Gospels, you see that Jesus, he was quoting scripture all the time, all the time.
That's right.
And when the enemy attacked him, he didn't reason with the enemy. He didn't beat himself up. He didn't do any of that. He whooped, pow! He took out his sword and he said, "It is written." And then he quoted scripture back to the enemy. He quoted scripture back to the enemy. Okay, so I've loved listening to your story, and I know that when your mentor was working with you, and just on this journey yourself, that you've got some good practical steps to share with us today on how somebody who's never memorized scripture before can dive into this important discipline that essentially renews our minds and allows us to walk confidently in our God-given purpose. So what would be the first thing you would tell somebody to do?
Sure. Well, first, let's not get overwhelmed, because if we talk about memorizing a huge chunk of scripture or a book at a time, our brains go, whoa, we can't do that, and we get a little overwhelmed. So the first thing is, let's just be reasonable. Let's set little goals, and let's just go one step at a time. You know, just like our training, you don't go out and run a marathon. You do a little bit of training at a time. So let's just set reasonable goals. For me, I like to think about it as like one verse a week is kind of my general goal. Sometimes if it's a shorter verse, it's a little faster than that for me. And sometimes it's a verse that just I'm having a tough time getting, and it takes a little longer than that. So that's okay. You know, the end goal is just to get it in there, but I at least have to have a goal so that I'm accountable to that goal and I stay disciplined. For somebody else, it might be, you know, just to spend a certain amount of time each day on that. So whatever your goal is going to be, set that reasonably, and then just go for it just one little step at a time. Do not feel overwhelmed or discouraged. We can do it if we do just one little step at a time. So I'd encourage you to pick a version that's not a paraphrase version, but is just word for word the Bible. And once you pick your version, for me, I choose the New King James Version to memorize, just because it has a little bit more of it's easier to put to a rhythm or to a song, which is kind of the way my memory works. And so I choose that. I studied the Bible in English Standard Version, but I like to memorize the New King James. So you can kind of see read a couple of different versions, and you can kind of see what's a little easier to stick in your mind. And then you kind of have to realize and figure out how you learn and how you memorize.
Okay.
With some people, it may be audio. And so if you remember things from hearing them, you may want to, you know, have it in your car or have it, you know, played at home or, you know, listen to it. Or with some people, they remember by writing. I have lots of friends that write out index cards, and they write out each verse that they're memorizing, and that helps them. Helps it stick in their mind.
Yeah.
With me, I choose to print it off, mm-hmm. and I highlight each verse, or kind of I highlight the verse that I'm working on. And so in my mind, I can see on the page all that's highlighted is what I already know. And I can kind of memorize where on the page I left off. So that helps me to visualize that. And then I would say this, for me, what helps is to not work on the entire verse at a time, unless it's a really short verse. But a lot of times, you know, the verse has, you know, four or five different little sections to it with commas. So I work on just one little phrase at a time, and that's very doable.
Yeah.
And so I'll highlight just that one little phrase, and I'll say it, you know, 10 or 15 times in the morning, and I keep that little piece of paper with me. I put it on my passenger side in the car when I'm driving, and if I get to a red light, then I'll look over at it and kind of check myself to make sure I got that one little phrase right. You know, if I'm waiting for my son to get out of piano lesson, I have another minute, I'll take a look at that, but I have it with me all the time, so I'm constantly double checking myself and working through that one little phrase. Then once you have that one little phrase, you can go back and add that whole verse. And once you have that whole verse, then I go back and I add it to just the verse before it, not the whole passage, but just the verse before it, and kind of we'll say those two together over and over and over again. And so what that does is it kind of bridges it together in my mind and makes that them connected in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go back and do the whole passage up until that last verse that I've memorized. So that's a very doable way. It's not that I'm memorizing the entire verse in one sitting in one morning, because that is not the way my mind works.
I love that. I love that. And I love how you broke it down in just those very doable, practical steps. I love that. Okay, so, and just to review, you want to figure out how you learn, whether it's audible. For me, I know that I'm a writer, so I would write it out. So just figure out how you learn, and by trial and error, you want to pick a version that works for you. And for you, that was the New King James. Then you want to break the scripture down into parts. That's another game changer, because that gets rid of that overwhelming feeling. So just, you know, just a few words a day that you're memorizing, and then you want to carry it with you all the time. So you do a little bit in the morning, and then you carry the index card with you, or whatever it is. You could stick it in your smartphone, just carrying it with you all the time. And then you link those parts back with each other, so that then you have the whole verse memorized. And then when a whole verse is memorized, then you link it back with the verse before that, and then you link it into the entire passage. So it's sort of, you know, just those reverse engineering of a goal, like really breaking it down. Like if you had a huge task that you were working on, breaking it down into those little parts, and then, you know, just working on each little part and connecting them with each other.
Yes. And I would say one other thing too, that is important part of the process, is finding someone to help you stay accountable. Whether it's one person, a friend, a small group, whether it's your family, if you're working through this together, but find somebody that you're going to have to say that verse to at the end of the week, because we all know that we stay much more disciplined when we have that accountability. At least I do. I'm sure I'm not alone in that area. And it doesn't have to be that you're working through the same passage. You can be sometimes done that where we have been working through the same passage, and that's awesome. It's very fun and encouraging, as long as we're not competitive with each other, that maybe one's a little faster than the other. Let's just encourage each other. And but that's great if you're all working through the same message, especially if it's a Bible mm-hmm. study group. Mm-hmm. That's incredible to just really enrich our study together. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it could be that you're both working through different passages, and that's fine, too. Just as long as you know that you're going to need to say that verse, or at least as much of that verse as you've memorized that week, to somebody else, and not in a, you know, legalistic way, but just in an encouraging and accountable yeah. way so that yeah. we can help each other be better warriors.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we talked about this as, you know, training for a marathon, and I'm much better at getting my workout in when I know that I'm doing it with somebody. So I think that's a very encouraging thing to do. Definitely. Awesome. Well, this was great. Thank you so much. And I know I am surely inspired to memorize not just parts of scripture, because I do that, but to take on that challenge of looking at perhaps a whole book of the Bible, or, you know, just a psalm or something like that, just start out there. So this has been wonderful. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, and I'm so just blessed by how you're making a difference in the Dominican Republic with the ministry that you have with Matt, and just to see in your own story of how nourishing your heart with truth and encouraging others to do so really did equip you for the work that God has called you to do. And that's true. That's true of all of us. So what an awesome story and encouragement, and you've certainly inspired me. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, have a wonderful day. And if you are interested in finding out more about Matt and Brooke's ministry, I have included those links in the description for the podcast. I hope that you all have a wonderful weekend, and join us next Monday as we continue on with our study of Godly Girl Power.